Hi there. Welcome to the Health Analytic Insights podcast. This podcast is all about creating a community of like-minded individuals who are passionate about the field of health informatics. I hope to share information and advice in topics such as health analytics, digital health, biomedical engineering, and data visualization in healthcare. And in exchange, I would love to hear from you, dear listener, about your experience and interest in this field. You can drop me a line at healthanalyticinsights@gmail.com. And this email, along with any references discussed during this podcast, will be listed in the show notes below. If this resonates with you, don't forget to follow and subscribe to this podcast, as I'll be releasing new episodes bi-weekly. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Health Analytic Insights podcast. And on this episode, I'm so excited to interview Anastasia Pergolsky, and she is going to talk about her process and journey of obtaining her first job in health informatics. I first heard about Anastasia when she emailed me and she listened to the podcast episode on how to land your first job. And then she emailed me and talked about her experience of landing her first job. So I'm really excited to delve into that because I know that there's a lot of people who are trying to get an entry-level role in health informatics. It's not easy. So I think that as we can gather as many stories and learn from others, it will really help to pave the path for others. So Anastasia, thanks so much for being on the podcast. And the first question is, can you give listeners an introduction to your background? What got you first interested in health informatics?
Yeah, thanks for having me today. So my background is, let's see, I went to undergrad for healthcare administration, and then directly after that, I got my master's degree in public health with a concentration in health management and policy. Shortly after that, I got a job with a nonprofit as a program manager, and I grew in that role for 5 years. What got me interested in health informatics specifically is, for one, I'm like a digital native. I don't know if that's just because I'm a millennial or what, but you know, I've always had an interest in digital products and digital interactions, and especially when it comes to healthcare, because as many of your audience members may know, with any advances in technology, healthcare is always one of the last people to actually adopt it. So it interested me in ways in which you could incorporate that. And then as I worked in my role and then in my studies, I learned more about the significance of the, or at least in the American health system, because you're based in Canada, right?
Yes.
I think this is a larger health system issue too, but especially here in America, we don't have, it is very hard to transfer medical information. So switching in between medical providers, there are lots of gaps in our healthcare system. And for me, that was just my why and why I wanted to get into healthcare informatics. So now I am back in school getting an MS in biomedical informatics. And it is my passion to help pursue interoperability and health information exchange, because that's just a huge problem here in the U.S. healthcare system that I'm really passionate about. And so health informatics is my way to help bridge that gap.
That's so interesting. And congratulations on, you know, going back to school to get to do your MS in bioinformatics. That's really, really amazing. And I think interoperability is the heart of many issues across, not just in America, like across the world. I was interviewing someone who had been to South Africa. He traveled to the UK, all these different places, and interoperability was an issue everywhere. And I think if you want to integrate these really cool, fun technologies like, you know, AI and healthcare and things like that, you need to have a strong interoperability between these different healthcare systems. So that's really great that that's the focus that you're taking on.
Yeah, super excited about it.
And can you kind of take us through the process of obtaining your first job in health informatics? For me, it was a very difficult process. So I'm wondering if you had a similar experience or completely
different. Oh, man. So like I said, I worked in nonprofit healthcare administration type roles. So my specialty when I first started my career was healthcare quality improvement. So that was helping hospitals, by and large, improve their Medicare, Medicaid metrics they're reporting out on, or just any other performance metrics that ultimately resulted in them being penalized through reimbursement or reduction in reimbursement, whether that's commercial or Medicare, Medicaid. So that was really my area of specialty for the last 5 years. And during that time, the company that I was with, they actually had a health informatics department that I had tried so many times to get into, and I couldn't get in. They said I didn't have enough experience. So in 2020, I put my foot down. I made the decision. I'm going to go back to school so that way they can't say I don't have enough experience. So I did that. And lo and behold, come July of 2021, through my, 2.5 semesters of school and training and access to resources, I was finally able to land my first contract opportunity with a post-acute care software company. And that has gone very well for me. I started in July. It is now November. Mm-hmm. And I am now already transitioning into a full-time role with that company. So my journey in getting there was, you know, one, having my own hunger. I was constantly researching the different trends and emerging topics in healthcare informatics, health information technology, such as FHIR, how blockchain technology is implemented in healthcare, artificial intelligence, things like that. That's just my own personal studying that I've been doing over the years as I tried unsuccessfully to interview for a lot of these positions with my old company. And then once I got in school, not only did I learn, obviously, from my coursework, my school also offered courses through LinkedIn Learning. So I took that opportunity there, and it's free because LinkedIn Learning is for a premium fee. I think it's about $40 a month, but my school offers it for free. And there I added on to that by studying Agile and the software development lifecycle process, product management, as well as project management. So in my former role, I had tons of experience in structural organization, strategy, corporate, business strategic, all kinds of stuff like that, but I didn't have that technical piece. So what my school afforded me, not only through the coursework, but also through the extra resources that it provided, was that experience that I was lacking. And I was able to combine my applied experience through my 5 years as a program manager with some of my coursework learning to land this opportunity.
So are you saying that it's like a good balance between having that experience, whether it might not be related to healthcare, but having that work experience and then also the focus coursework, maybe in health informatics, that's helpful?
I think what was helpful for me, because while I'm learning a lot of technical stuff, but I didn't have a lot of, you know, real life applied experience doing it, just homework assignments, I still brought to the table. And what I think helped me most was those transferable skills that I had developed in the healthcare setting that I was previously in through project management, healthcare quality improvement, knowledge of CMS reporting, metric measures, and navigating those clinical pathways and understanding how the healthcare system works. Because now that I'm in this company, one of the first things I realized is a lot of them don't know healthcare. They know how to build a software, excellent software, but they don't understand the why. And so that's how I was able to make that transition into healthcare informatics, because what I bring is not necessarily the coding and technical expertise, although those are things that I do have on my docket of tools a little bit anyway, not nearly as good as them, but I have that understanding of how the healthcare system works, and I bring to them the perspective of the user directly, which they often don't have access to.
That's a really, really great insight. And I think a lot of people can probably find themselves in a similar position, because you see a lot of like nurses and pharmacy technicians looking to transition into a health informatics role. So they might have a lot of transferable skills. That's, as you're saying, that can make them prime candidates.
That's definitely it. Yeah, the transferable skills, knowing how to really just reword your resume to take those skills that you have and apply them into the vocabulary and vernacular of this technical field. You know, for example, my little sister, she's a freshman in college and she's looking to land an internship with this huge clinical research organization. And, you know, she thought she didn't qualify because she didn't have, let's say, data analysis experience, for example, you know? And I said, so have you ever sent out a survey and then looked at the results of the survey and made a decision based on those results? She said, yeah. And I said, well, there you go. You have experience with data analysis. You know, it's knowing how to interpret the words and the verbiage and understanding that vocabulary. And of course, brushing up on some of that stuff yourself.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess the difficult part about that is you kind of need somebody in the field kind of to help you to almost translate your resume, because you might not have the language or, you know, the ability to translate your resume in that way. Did you have that knowledge yourself, or did you find your school helped you, or
No, this so my resume that finally landed me this job was years in the making. You know, like I said, for the whole time I was there, I was trying to get into that department. I just couldn't. And every time they post a job, I would research some of those skills or background knowledge. And it was like it's my resume for the last at least 3 years was just a living document, constantly being updated as I would go and I research these things. I'm like, hey, I actually do know about that, but I don't have it here on my resume. So you learn the language and what some of these things translate to. Some things, like I said, like the example I gave with the data analysis, you in your mind wouldn't consider that data analysis, or you wouldn't realize that's what that you're doing, but that's what it is. Or, you know, in different industries, it may go by a different term. For example, in software development, they call their strategic plans for the year's roadmap, but from the program and project management industry that I come from, it's considered a Gantt chart. And what they consider project plans are also, you know, they definitely do not translate to the full PMI project plan that's many, many documents long, you know, that I come from that industry. So just knowing how the terms translate, I think is really significant. But had I had someone like with my sister's example that already was in the industry and could help me, I maybe would have been able to make that transition a lot sooner. So I do think that would be really helpful if you have a mentor, someone that can help you review your resume and translate those terms and talk through your experiences to help you realize what experience you actually already have and just don't realize.
Yeah, that is a really, really great point, and just makes me think about all the different, even when you're searching for job titles in health informatics, it can be so confusing, like clinical data analyst and implementation specialist. Like if you're not in the field, it's very hard to kind of know what these roles are because they vary from country, from region, from state. I guess because it's such a new field that like everyone knows like a project manager. Like there's not like a really, I guess, confirmed job title. And some advice that I give to listeners is what I've noticed with job titles in health informatics, I noticed that a lot of them seem to really want data visualization skills. Many of them want a relevant clinical degree or relevant clinical experience, and then experience with SQL. And then strong communication skills. So I often just tell people that you could just kind of search these terms in LinkedIn or Indeed if you don't know the exact job title, because it can be very hard to even know like what are those terms, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then also, that's exactly what I did. You know, I would look at this job title, and sometimes if I'm interviewing for it, I'd go on LinkedIn and search for a person who also has that job title and look at the things that they're good at or what their background experience is. And if I don't have it, I go on LinkedIn Learning and learn about it.
Yeah, that's such a great. You have a lot of initiative. That's really awesome that you really took everything by storm and you said, I'm gonna do this, and it actually
I'm gonna
panned out.
do it.
Exactly.
And now I'm here.
So switching gears, what hope and impact do you hope to have on the field of health informatics? Like, where do you see yourself, 5, 10 years down the road in this health informatics world?
Yeah, so you know, like I said, my key interest in the field of health informatics is bridging that gap in interoperability and health information exchange. And you know, my pie in the sky dream would be to develop a medical solution that integrates connected devices so that a patient doesn't have to leave their home unless it's truly necessary for, you know, the lower care, lower level medical needs. And I don't even think that's something that's so far away. And as far as FDA clearance is approved, that's another thing. But that's kind of like my dream project. And to have that information flow throughout the entire continuum of care. That's kind of just been a constant in my path that I've been forging throughout my career. So that's the mark that I hope to leave, is to bridge the gap in interoperability with at any phase of care, but hopefully it's in a continuous cycle throughout the continuum. And that's actually one of the first projects I'll be working on with my new full-time employee role once I come off this contract here in a little bit.
That is so cool. And I think that there's so many interesting assistive devices out there that can help people stay longer in their home if they want to still have that autonomy, because it can be very hard to make that transition, from a senior's home. And I remember I had a really great conversation with someone who was an advocate for dementia patients. His father had dementia, and he's very much into using technology to help the process, right? And there's a lot of research done in Toronto, Canada, where I am, that talks about like falls, like if seniors are falling in their home, how can we build devices to kind of and sensors to allow people to stay in their home longer? So that's a really, really cool project. Do you hope to work mainly with the senior population or just people staying in their home in general.
Just in general, not necessarily the senior population, but it's interesting you point that out because that's basically where I find myself in my current role since it's a post-acute care EHR software company. You know, their primary audience is the Medicare audience, which is 65 and up.
So I was wondering, could you give people some advice that might be in maybe in the stage that you were, you know, trying to really get that job? Like what words of advice, what words of encouragement would you give to people who are in that similar stage?
Don't give up. And, you know, like you pointed out, like if you want it, take that initiative and own it. Do that independent study yourself. You can learn SQL without going back to school. Or maybe, you know, you can just do a quick boot camp rather than committing to a full degree if that's all that stands in between you and getting that job. Because like you pointed out, sometimes, you know, they tack on some of these education requirements to some of these. So, you know, just take the initiative. Also, don't be afraid of contracts. I was really nervous about this contract situation, but you know, I did my research and much like a lot of people advised, they said that you could be transferred over. And I, again, am very ambitious in what I want. And when I took this contract, I let them know the first week, like, hey, I want a full-time role. Tell me what I can do to help that happen. And so now we are three months in and they're making a role for me. So don't be afraid if contracting is your only way to test the waters. Like I say, go for it. If it's something you really are passionate about and want to pursue, for me, this is kind of, it had been my biggest regret. You know, like I said, I went straight through school, bachelor's to master's, and it was something I wanted to do, but I didn't, you know, pick the right degree. And it had been my biggest regret for the first 2 or 3 years of my career. And I just decided to go ahead and dive in both feet, go back to school. And I finally got to where I had been trying to get to for 5 years within 2 months of being back in school. So I say, go for it, whatever way that is, be ambitious and be intentional about your actions as you pursue this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really, really great advice. And I hope people who are thinking of giving up can, you know, as best as they can keep themselves still in the race. I think that at the end of the day, working in this field is a great opportunity. And I get a lot of joy working in this field. So I hope that people can find themselves in a similar position down the road. But thank you so much, Anastasia, for all your insights. I know it'll be valuable to the audience, and best of luck for the rest of your program as well.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Health Analytic Insights podcast. I'd love to hear from you about topics I should cover in future episodes. Please consider subscribing and leaving a review. Have a wonderful day.